Martin Luther King's assassination, and he called out the triple evils, right, of racism, economic exploitation, and militarism. And, you know, it resonates with the call to cancel student debt. Student debt is a racial justice issue. It intensifies economic inequality, you know, and it is connected to militarism because, again, it's an indication that we don't spend on the public goods we need, like education, we spend on war. And also, student debt helps the military recruit people, right? It's a major driver of enlisting it in the army. So we need to get to the root of the problem, but we will only do that by building power together.
That's Esther, the debt collective slogan, we have to right? leave We're it there. Esther Taylor, Braxton Brewington, members of the Debt Collective. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Stay safe. KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, board meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month starting at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO is looking for a next membership director. KBOO's members are the heart and soul of our community, and we need a dedicated person to honor and foster this relationship. Are you the right person to steward and manage KBOO's membership department, or do you know someone who is? Then go to kboo.fm to learn more about the essential functions of the membership director and the qualifications we are looking for. To apply, please email your resume and cover letter to hiring@kboo.org by Sunday, March 6th at midnight. You can also apply by mailing your resume and cover letter to KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. Members make KBOO happen.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, a Portland man is charged with murdering a protester last weekend. Trump investigators mysteriously resign without cause. And, in international news, Russia invades rebel-held regions of eastern Ukraine. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. I'm Josh Salem. A Portland man has been charged with murder in the second degree for killing a woman at a protest against police violence. 43-year-old Benjamin Smith is also being charged with deadly assault with a firearm, four counts of attempted murder in the first degree with a firearm, and assault. Smith confronted protesters at the event and demanded they disperse. When protesters refused, Smith aggressively approached one person and was pushed away. Smith then drew a gun and shot 60-year-old Brandy June Knightley in the head. Knightley died at the scene. Smith wounded four others as he fired into the crowd. One victim was shot in the neck and is paralyzed from the neck down. Two people were shot multiple times. A protester shot Smith in the hip. He is in critical condition at an area hospital under police guard. The protester who shot him hasn't been identified or charged. Smith has often criticized Black Lives Matter, COVID-19 mask requirements, and houseless people living by his apartment. This is the most recent episode in a spate of recent gun-related violence, which disproportionately affects Portland's Black community. The city recorded 90 homicides in 2021, shattering the previous high of 66. A boiler explosion at a food manufacturer in northeastern Oregon ignited a fire that destroyed the plant. The disaster occurred yesterday afternoon, and 7 people were rushed to the Good Shepherd Medical Center. No major injuries were reported. The Shearer's food facility in Hermiston, Oregon, employed up to 400 workers and supplies most of the potato chips and corn chips on the West Coast. Hermiston City Manager Byron Smith described the fire as a, quote, total loss, end quote. Want to drive out to the gorge to see the waterfalls this summer? You'll need a permit. The Oregon Department of Transportation announced yesterday that timed entry permits will be required along the waterfall corridor of the scenic Columbia River Gorge Highway, including the Vista House, between May 24th and September 5th. Cyclists and those taking public transportation or on a tour will not need a permit. ODOT spokesperson Don Hamilton said, quote, "Everybody knows how bad the congestion has been getting in the gorge, especially in the waterfall corridor," end quote. Details, including how much the permits will cost and how many will be sold, are still being worked out. Permits will be available in advance online, with a limited number of same-day permits also available. In 2020, the Forest Service began requiring permits to visit Multnomah Falls during the busy summer season, offering 500 tickets for each hour between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Spanish-speaking farm workers in the Columbia Gorge have a new community radio station broadcasting bilingual content on a range of topics. With more, here's Eric Tegetoff.
A unique radio station in the Columbia River Gorge provides information in English and Spanish on topics ranging from the environment to immigration. Radio Tierra is a small community station in Hood River, serving farm workers who mainly come from Mexico, living on both the Oregon and Washington sides of the river. Ubaldo Hernandez is host of a show on the station called Conoce tu Colombia.
Its purpose is to reach out to this community and talk about environmental and social issues that happen in our communities, and for them to understand how climate change or environmental crisis affect our communities.
Hernandez discusses a range of issues on his show, such as the health effects of pesticides and water quality in the Columbia, and talks about how people can get involved in solutions to these issues. He also is a senior organizer for the group Columbia Riverkeeper. Letty Moretti is a volunteer at Radio Tierra who used to host her own show. She says the station provides a way for people to get involved in their community. Moretti says she would use her show to talk about topics like COVID-19, immigration, and to dispel misinformation.
We know that information in Spanish comes much later than it does for the English language. And then the same goes for when there's misinformation. In order to correct it, it takes like 4 times longer to correct in Spanish than you would in English because there's not as many checkpoints.
Moretti says Radio Tierra has a special relationship with the region it serves. People called into her show simply to say they'd lost their wallet at the grocery store and needed help finding it. She says someone once called in to say a family's refrigerator had broken down.
It took less than 60 minutes before someone called me and said, "We've got a refrigerator in the back of our truck. Just tell us where we need to deliver it." And they had an extra one in one of the orchards that they delivered to this family. So that kind of magic was really cool to see.
Moretti says it's not all serious conversations on Radio Tierra. When a request comes in to lighten things up, the DJs are happy to oblige with some cheerful songs. For Oregon News Service, I'm Eric Tegetoff.
After a year of racist and homophobic scandals, unexplained firings, and community infighting, the Newburgh School District is back in the news. The Republican-dominated school board had planned to repeal the district's mask mandate before the state's required March 31st deadline, but backtracked when the interim superintendent drew a line in the sand. Violating the state's mandate could result in a fine of up to $135,000, which could be devastating to the embattled school system. Interim Superintendent Dr. Dave Novotny told the school board, quote, "I think you could respect the fact that as a volunteer person working a lot of extra hours to support Newburgh, I don't want my parting gift to be an investigation from Teacher Standards and Practices Commission," end quote. Standing up to the school board is a potentially risky decision for Novotny. The previous superintendent, Joe Morlock, was terminated without cause when he refused to enforce the board's ban on Black Lives Matter and pride symbols in schools. The Oregon State Legislature passed a Senate bill 2 weeks ago that would prevent future superintendents from being ousted on political grounds. An officer involved in the raid that killed 26-year-old Louisville resident Breonna Taylor is on trial. Brett Hankinson is being charged with 3 counts of wanton endangerment, a low-level felony carrying a possible punishment of 5 years in prison. Hankinson fired 10 shots during the fatal raid 2 years ago, though none of his bullets hit Taylor. Prosecutors say the bullets endangered her neighbors, a couple with a child. Hankinson is not being tried for his role in Taylor's killing. The city of Louisville reached a settlement already with her family in October of 2020. The prosecutor, Assistant Kentucky Attorney General Barbara Maines Whaley, said charges are focused on Hankinson's decision to fire blindly. Hankinson reportedly told one of Taylor's neighbors they were escalating the situation. He also fired in a different direction than 2 other detectives involved in the raid. Hankinson's attorney argued he was justified and was trying to save fellow officers involved in the firefight. A neighbor and trial witness, Cody Etherton, acknowledged the whole situation was chaotic. The defense attorney claimed that a $12 million civil suit Etherton is involved with could influence his testimony. Information regarding the racial and ethnic makeup of the jury has not been released by the court. The pool the jury was selected from is larger than normal because of national publicity Taylor's case has attracted. The trial is expected to take 2 weeks. With more news on the government's response to the Russian invasion, the federal gas tax, and growing threats to congressional candidates, it's Mary Schuerman with 2022 Talks.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Who in the Lord's name does Putin think gives him the right to declare new so-called countries on territory that belong to his neighbors?
A day after Russian President Vladimir Putin announced 2 separatist regions of Ukraine are now independent and sent troops into the region, President Joe Biden said the actions marked the beginning of an invasion. He also announced a series of allied sanctions targeting Russia's independent investment corporation, its military bank, and its sovereign debt.
At every step, we have shown the United States and our allies and partners are working in unison, which he hasn't been counting on, Mr. Putin.
During an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council, U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield warned of dire consequences.
If Russia invades Ukraine even further, we will see a devastating loss of life, unimaginable suffering. Millions of displaced people will create a refugee crisis across Europe.
In his response to Putin's actions, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky said his nation will not concede.
We are on our land. We are not afraid of anything or anyone.
Members of Congress are discussing legislative responses, including a supplemental spending measure to help NATO allies and Ukraine. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham was among those who criticized Biden's actions as inadequate.
You said a couple of years ago that Putin does not want you to win because you're the only person that could go toe-to-toe with him. Well, right now, Mr. President, you're playing footsie with Putin and you're losing.
In light of the tensions, Germany is halting the controversial Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Europe is heavily dependent on Russian gas, and the undersea pipeline is meant to transport natural gas from the country into northern Germany. Back here in the States, Senator Richard Blumenthal and other Democrats are intensifying calls to pass the Gas Prices Relief Act. It would suspend the federal gasoline tax through the end of the year.
Consumers need and deserve this relief. They are struggling and hurting, and the gasoline tax of 18.4 cents adds true insult and injury to the injury that they're suffering already as a result of this rising inflation.
Critics say it's an election year gimmick instead of a long-term solution to inflation. A new review of congressional campaign finances reveals a spike in spending for personal security. According to QR Roll Call, both parties disclosed nearly $3 million for security-related expenses last year. That's an increase of nearly 700% compared with the 2019-2020 election cycle. Politicians have reported receiving more death threats following the January 6th attack at the Capitol. Law enforcement agencies in D.C. are asking the National Guard for assistance to support security ahead of Biden's first State of the Union address next week. There are reportedly concerns about a possible demonstration similar to the blockades by truck drivers in Canada protesting vaccine mandates. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael isn't binge-watching the news.
The news seems more like some developing series about a twisted near future. Is all the troop buildup and bluster into Ukraine just about the weapons makers needing to clear inventory? Or is it about the profits of fossil fuel countries and companies? Gas prices expected to jump another half dollar soon. While in Canada, Prime Minister Trudeau can't afford to expand the pipeline he bought. Follow the money. Starbucks, McDonald's et al. Bumping up their prices despite big jumps in profit. It's not inflation, it's greed. Vampire capitalism till we're bled and indebted helpless. Can Sam Adams make the homeless disappear? How crazy is it for protesters of police violence to be shot, one killed by someone who believed the protesters were making things worse? I don't want a cliffhanger season ending or to wait for next season's climate disasters and electoral chaos. Maybe we'll go from woke to being awake to what's behind the media curtain. Not just change the channel, but create channels for change. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth report on alternative voting systems. At 6, it's The Underground. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather is below freezing. Expect snow tomorrow morning, followed by temperatures in the high 30s. Today, in 1903, the government of Cuba released Guantanamo Bay to the U.S. in perpetuity. America continues to send Cuba a monthly rent check of $4,085, which the government refuses to cash. The quote of the day is from Aimé Césaire. American domination, the only domination from which one never recovers. I mean, from which one never recovers unscarred. Russia's armies are fully prepared for an invasion of Ukraine, while the West levies sanctions against it. With the latest, it's KBOO's Ethan Sandweiss.
Russia moved so-called peacekeeping troops into breakaway regions of eastern Ukraine. Russia officially recognizes the People's Republics of Luhansk and Donetsk, but Ukraine and most of the world consider this an invasion. Meanwhile, pro-Russian separatist forces continue to shell Ukraine military positions. The Army of Ukraine has so far refrained from striking back. Russia's formidable cyber warfare apparatus has been deployed against Ukraine's government and institutions. Banking, government, and nonprofit websites were knocked out by denial-of-service attacks. Security experts say nearly 100% of the forces needed for a full invasion are in position, and 80% of Russian forces are in front-line positions and poised to strike. Russia continues indefinite military exercises on the Belarus-Ukraine border and conducted nuclear missile drills earlier this week. The Russian army is larger and far better endowed than Ukraine's, although after almost a decade of war, Ukraine's 500,000 veterans have experience fighting Russian separatists. Ukraine's army has swelled to about 260,000 soldiers, although a total mobilization could raise as many as 1 million. Ukrainian lawmakers approved a national state of emergency today that would allow them to draw on reserves. It also temporarily granted its citizens the right to bear arms, and lawmakers encouraged private citizens to defend their country. U.S. intelligence released evidence this week that Putin's government compiled lists of Ukrainian figures to execute or imprison after an invasion. Former Ukraine military leaders fear Russia may resort to tactics it deployed in Syria, deliberately bombing civilian areas. Putin's expectations for Ukraine are hazy, but its growing relationship with NATO is a factor in his decision to invade. For its part, NATO has no plans to engage Russian troops on the front line, but its member states have furnished Ukraine's military with weapons, gear, and supplies. The EU and the US are sanctioning Russia and freezing overseas accounts belonging to members of Putin's inner circle. Germany officially suspended the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which would have allowed Russia to export natural gas to Germany without passing through Ukraine. Despite Biden's calls and Germany's climate obligations, the European powerhouse was reluctant to halt the project. After bills passed in 2015 limiting nuclear power, Germany has remained dependent on Russian fossil fuels. Poland is preparing refugee camps near its border for Ukrainians fleeing the war. Earlier this winter, Poland denied asylum to thousands of Middle Eastern refugees attempting to cross from Belarus, spraying them with caustic water and below-freezing conditions. Although most American lawmakers condemn Putin's aggression, one notable Republican exception described the head of state as a, quote, savvy genius. Donald Trump has often praised Putin in the past, and members of his campaign staff and leadership team have close ties to Putin associates. Donald Trump was also impeached for withholding military aid to Ukraine unless President Zelensky investigated unfounded allegations against Hunter Biden. We could use this guy on our southern border, Trump said of the Russian dictator. That's the strongest peacekeeping force I've ever seen. I know him very well, very, very well. Kenyan Ambassador Martin Kimani addressed the United Nations today, comparing Russia's invasion to the legacy of colonialism in Africa. Kimani said, "We must complete our recovery from the embers of dead empires in a way that does not plunge us back into new forms of domination and oppression." From KBU News, I'm Ethan Sandweiss.
As the U.S. Congress continues its investigation into the January 6th Capitol attack, some of the alleged conspirators it called to testify are continuing to draft anti-voting legislation. Lily Bolke speaks with community groups in Michigan who detail how Republican lawmakers are attempting to subvert democracy in their state.
Two Michigan Republicans were called to testify on Tuesday before the Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot and efforts to overturn the 2020 election. They were two of the 16 Republicans who signed a false letter stating Donald Trump had won Michigan's electoral votes, despite Joe Biden leading by more than 150,000 votes in the state. Later this week, the former chair of the Michigan Republican Party will be called to discuss her part in the false election documents. Sam Inglot with Progress Michigan says those kinds of efforts to undermine elections are what led to the insurrection on January 6th.
January 6th and these hearings are not just about one event. They're not even about a single election day. We've really seen kind of multiple years of misinformation from the right about our elections and attempt to sabotage our elections.
Following 2020, Michigan lawmakers filed dozens of bills that critics say would make voting harder, including an attempt to beef up voter ID requirements and prohibit sending out absentee ballot applications to voters unless specifically requested. While Governor Gretchen Whitmer has vetoed those bills, a petition is circulating to try and override future vetoes. Brandon Snyder with community group Detroit Action says in contrast to those attempts, another petition is circulating for election reforms that would make it easier for more people to vote, from implementing more early voting to ensuring more drop boxes are available and providing better language access.
When we talk about like engaging in democracy, like that's just not elections. Like for us, we believe in democracy being 365, and we think of democracy not just being voting rights, but like the actual needs that people have.
The group circulating this petition, Promote the Vote Michigan, successfully led the campaign to pass Proposition 3 in 2018. It added straight ticket voting, automatic voter registration at the Michigan DMVs, same-day voter registration, and no-excuse absentee voting, among other election reforms. This is Lily Bolke with Michigan News Connection.
The People's Convoy, a group of truck drivers protesting coronavirus restrictions, is leaving California today, heading for Washington, D.C. It's one of several groups planning to converge on the Capitol later this week. The Pentagon announced yesterday that unarmed troops are approved to deploy in Washington if needed. Bob Bolus, organizer of the group leaving from Scranton, Pennsylvania, President Biden's hometown, said his convoy has no intention of breaking laws or blocking traffic, but warned this could happen if their demands regarding pandemic mandates and the cost of fuel are not met. Brian Braze, one of the organizers of the California group, said, quote, "We plan to stay a while and hope they don't escalate it the way Trudeau did with his disgusting government overreach," end quote. The convoys have been celebrated on right-wing media outlets, but some of the organizers of the event have connections to the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked rarely used emergency powers to end a truckers' protest in Ottawa. Canadian police restored a sense of normalcy last weekend after truckers had blockaded the downtown area for over 3 weeks. Donald Trump's social media platform, Truth Social, launched on Sunday, but users complain of long wait lists and glitches. There are currently more than 300,000 users who have reported being unable to register accounts. A 13-hour site-wide outage also interfered with the platform's release. Trump decided to create his own social media platform after Twitter and other outlets closed his accounts. Truth Social looks a lot like Twitter, with tweets being labeled truths and retweets being labeled retruths. Trump promised the site would be a place free from censorship, but is already blocking some users. Privacy researcher Bill Fitzgerald told the Washington Post, quote, "There is no better sign of a rushed implementation than the fact that you can't onboard anybody," end quote. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton issued an opinion yesterday that gender-affirming medical treatment for minors constitutes child abuse and must be halted. The Attorney General's opinions aren't legally binding, and no court in the country has ever found gender affirmation care for minors to be abusive, although last year, the Texas legislature failed to pass a bill that would have listed gender affirmation as a crime on the level of child sex trafficking. Paxton is currently under investigation by the FBI for bribery and abuse of office and is awaiting trial for a 2015 indictment for securities fraud. His opinion mirrors the state's unprecedented law passed last year, allowing private citizens to receive bounties for reporting abortion providers who offered care after the first 6 weeks of pregnancy. Human rights activists note that these decisions are intended to create a climate of fear among parents of transgender children. Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered agencies in his state to investigate Paxton's claim. Medical research has shown that allowing transgender youth access to confirmation treatment reduces suicide rates and mental illness. Some public lands in the United States carry derogatory anti-Indigenous names. The Department of the Interior is working to change that. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick in for Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Interior Department is releasing a list of proposed names to replace a derogatory anti-Indigenous word on public lands. Bert Johnson with the Mountain West News Bureau has more.
Federal officials plan to remove the word SQUAW from more than 600 geographic features. This story will not include a full pronunciation of that word out of respect for Indigenous communities. Tribal advocates have been pushing to remove it for years. Helen Fillmore is a member of the Washoe tribe of Nevada and California. She told KNPR's Native Nevada podcast the word was a reminder of the violence Native women endured during colonization.
It's also an ongoing barrier, I would say, for being able to be a part of our homelands and to carry out our traditional practices like they should be.
For example, the department proposed renaming a creek in Elko County, Nevada to Wally Creek or Goshute Valley. Members of the public will be able to weigh in on the changes. The department has removed offensive words from use before, including slurs targeting African Americans and Japanese Americans. For National Native News, I'm Bert Johnson.
In an annual address to state lawmakers, a representative of Wisconsin's 11 federally recognized tribes challenged Republican-led efforts to change voting laws and restrict teaching about racism. Chuck Kornbach of station WUWM in Milwaukee reports.
Shannon Holsey, president of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, gave this year's State of the Tribes address at the Capitol building in Madison. It comes as Republicans prepare to pass bills that critics say would limit voting later this year. Holsey challenged lawmakers to instead expand access to the ballot box.
We should all do more to ensure that all Americans, including Native Americans, can exercise this right easily.
The GOP-controlled Wisconsin legislature also recently voted to prohibit Wisconsin public schools from teaching students and training employees about concepts such as systemic racism and implicit bias. Democratic Governor Tony Evers vetoed that measure, and Holsey called on lawmakers to now take a different approach.
It is our view in response as tribal nations that perhaps what is needed is not critical theory and more critical thinking.
Holsey also criticized the remaining use of Native American mascots by Wisconsin sports teams and called for action against climate change. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach.
Russia has declared a non-governmental organization that seeks to protect the rights of indigenous ethnic groups in the Volga region as undesirable. Radio Free Europe reports that the Prosecutor General's office said since the group Free Idel Ural is registered in the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, it, quote, poses a danger to the Russian Federation's constitutional order and security. exiled activists from the Volga region established this NGO to represent the interests of native ethnic groups in six Russian republics. Russia has been increasing pressure on activists seeking autonomy for the country's many ethnic groups. And in Chile, the last living speaker of an indigenous language has died. Reuters reports Cristina Calderon died last week at age 93. She mastered the Yamana language of the Yagan community, and after her sister died nearly 20 years ago, was the last person in the world to speak it. The remaining Yagan number a few dozen, but they stopped learning the language. Calderon created a dictionary of the language with translations in Spanish. This gives some hope of preserving it. The Yagan's ancestral ethnic group used to populate the archipelagos of South America's extreme south near the Antarctic. For National Native News, I'm Megan Kamrick.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our remote production team for tonight's newscast is Dan Raphael and Josh Salem. Their producer is Ethan Sandweiss, and our engineer is Otto. Special thanks to Antonia Gonzalez, Mary Schuerman, Lily Bolke, and Eric Tegetoff. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Josh Salem. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you'd like to become a member and support your local community radio station, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for an in-depth report on alternative voting systems.